All right. Well, good morning, Lambrick. Scott here with Erica. It is actually Thursday night for us, so I'll just acknowledge that. I'm in my office with the old sign, Serving Christ, Our Way of Life, that Jerry Brower found down in one of the storage rooms in the basement recently. Put it up there because our theme today is serving our neighbors. And Erica is downtown at Sanctuary Youth in the office with the green walls there. And once in a while, people appear on the other side of the glass in front of her, so someone might catch her attention, we'll see. But I hope many of you recognize Erica. Erica was a part of Lambrick for a bunch of years. Her and her sister have been youth leaders with us. And yeah, Erica's been a big part of us in lots of ways. And a few years ago, kind of graduated and served with Sanctuary Youth. I'll introduce Erica more in a minute. But as many of you know, we are on week four of our Bless series, 5 everyday ways to love our neighbors in the name of Jesus, missional practices. So we've talked so far, Bless is the acronym. Begin with prayer, listen. Last week, Daniel McDougall talked about the role of eating meals. So E is the eat is the third in the Bless acronym. And Daniel had that great line I loved. We talked about how sometimes we feel like, well, we don't have the best home or the biggest kitchen or the most resources. And so practicing hospitality in our homes is really hard. And he just named for us that Jesus didn't have a home. And I loved that line. That just like helped pull hospitality away from the space you have to the person you are and how we are hospitable people. And this week we're talking, the first S in Bless is serve. And yeah, I'm going to read a line from the book that John Ferguson has written. He says, once you begin with prayer, listen, and eat with someone, there's a good chance that by then you'll have discovered how you can best serve them, to serve the person God is asking you to bless. So that's what we're talking about today. Blessing our neighbors in Jesus' names involves serving them like Jesus. And I'll be honest, the first part of our missional acronym is my natural wheelhouse. Over the years, God has got me praying for my neighbors. God has got me showing up and meeting my neighbors. When a new neighbor comes and moves on my street, I go knock on their door and say, hey, welcome to our neighborhood. Maybe we bring them some gluten-free cookies or something or whatever, and try to build friendship, try to get to know people, listen to them, maybe share meals with them. And then the S's, the serve and story, are the ones where God has to keep pushing me and pushing me. And so I've kind of, as we walk through the study, have thought, I probably need to reach out and ask for help from others. So that's part of why I'm sitting here with Erica. The other reason I'm sitting here with Erica is because over the last few weeks, as we walk through the study, we've also been listening to the news and hearing the ache of our Indigenous neighbors and aching with and for our Indigenous neighbors historically and today in the wake of the discovery of the remains of the 215 residential school children at the Kamloops residential school. And that story is going to keep growing likely as more sites are explored. And so for me, this has really fueled this dual conversation in my soul as I walk through the Blessed study, this asking questions, praying about, wrestling with, how do we love our neighbors? And thinking specifically about my on my street neighbors, the people God has put in my everyday life, but also what's my call? How can I grow as someone who loves my Indigenous neighbors? And so as I've been studying, talking with people, Kenzie and I this week have been talking, praying about this. I've been asking God what he'd want. And honestly, this morning I was praying and Erica was in my thoughts and a friend, Randy Hine, whom many of you know, called me talking about related things. And by the time we got off the phone, I thought, I'm just gonna call Erica and throw out a what if sort of question. She could say no, and that would be okay. But she could say yes, and that'd be great. And she did say yes. I don't know if she still feels glad that she said yes, but she did. But I want to reach out to Erica as someone who is seeking to love her and our Indigenous neighbors in the name of Jesus. And a few years ago, you moved up to the Sayout First Nation community. Is that a year ago, 2 years ago?
Like a year and a half ago.
Yeah. Okay. You had already been working in the role that you're in now. Is that right?
Yeah.
Do you call it an outreach worker? What's the name, title of your role?
I'm officially called a youth transition coordinator.
Youth transition coordinator. And you work supporting Indigenous youth who've aged out of the foster system.
Who are aging out. Yeah. So I come alongside them to support the transition, their ongoing transition to adulthood is what I like.
Okay. And did that prompt your relationship with the Indigenous community, the Sayout community, and lead you to ending up there? Or how did you end up there?
Yeah, I remember. So it's 2020 was the awful year. I think in the fall of 2019, I was ready to, I just wanted to live out of my backpack come January 2020. And I was like, I'm good. I have a contract position. I can leave. I have nothing tying me down. And so I had people come alongside and pray with me. During that season, though, prior to that season, I had been working with the agency I'm with right now. I also had done a practicum through my UVic program with the Sayout First Nation in their actual band office. And so I like to think that that was my first real, that was where I got schooled a lot. And I think the foundations of what it meant to do social work and to work with and within communities in a good way, that was laid as I just hung out with babies and sat with elders and they'd tell me their stories about really random things, but also super meaningful things. Mm-hmm. And then I connected with a friend who was living up in the church on the reserve and started helping out with the youth group up there. So I have been connected with the just Sayout youth prior to that. Then come November 2019, praying, didn't have a place to stay, didn't know where I was going to move. And then a family from the church in Sayout, they're like, we have an extra room. You want to move in? And I said, yes, I will move in. And that's the family that I live with now. And they've honestly, especially over COVID, they've become family to me. And I'm so, 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 so grateful. For everything that they've done and how they've supported me through this season of COVID.
When we were talking earlier today, you said it and I said it, so I want to say it here, is we're talking not because you are the supreme missionary in Victoria, the one and only Christian who's all out doing something gutsy. Like I was thinking this afternoon, I could call Kyle Walker, who's an electrical engineer. I could call, a teacher in our school, in our church, who's loving Jesus by walking with grade 4 students. I could call, a single mom. I mean, so many people. And the call to love our neighbors and serve our neighbors is specific to the places and the callings that we have. And there's no, you're not the one. I'm not talking to you because you're the example. I'm talking to you, and I'm talking to you because I know you to be someone who's seeking to follow the example of Jesus. So, and specifically, you are serving in the Indigenous community, and that stands out to me right now as a part of the conversation that I need. So not that this conversation is going to be all about the Indigenous experience and story, but that is the context of where you are serving in our city. So I want to read for us the text from John 13. I've been meditating on this week, thinking about our call to serve. So this familiar words, John 13, this is Jesus in the upper room. It's really the beginning of the upper room discourse. And I'm reading from the NIV in case anyone's following along. Says it was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, and the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So, gotta say, that's gotta be like the biggest so in the New Testament. Like, all this, he knew he's from the Father. He knew he was returning to the Father. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. It's a bit of a banter between him and Simon Peter that I won't read right now. I'll jump ahead to verse 12. When he finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." I gotta say, I have questions I want to ask you, but I'm struck as you just shared about living with this family on the reserve, that already what you said there said to me that they have served you. It's easy to think we show up in places as the servants. And hopefully we are, but for all the ways you have, I trust, sought to be a servant, you have been the recipient of the kindness, the grace, the generosity, the service of other people, other followers of Jesus, other fellow humans, and that's a beautiful thing. I know you don't have the text maybe right in front of you there, but I'm curious, is there anything in that that grabs your attention as we kind of start talking here?
I think, and something that I've just been playing with perhaps in my own mind recently, is just that, like, the language around servant and like servant master, serving the least of these, or how that's all thrown out, but how to reframe that in my mind towards friendship, like, and that Jesus is doing that for his friends. Mm. Like, this is, yeah. And I'm glad that you caught what I was saying, because when I was thinking and you were talking about serving in the community, I was like, oh, but they're serving me so much. Like, yeah. Probably super uneven how much they care for me versus how much I'm able to give back. So, mm-hmm. And to recognize that it's servant, I think it's like given me, because once you move in, like once you live with a family that's not the family you were raised around or the folks that you were raised around, there's a lot of different dynamics where I know when I go home with my biological family and just the like, oh, I don't want to do dishes, I don't want to do these like things that are chores, yeah. And witnessing how living with this family, like their names are Peter and Stephanie and I love them a lot, and their son, where it's like such a joy, and maybe COVID also impacts that, where I just love doing dishes. Like, I love doing it because I'm like, I get to, this means that they don't have to do the dishes. I get to do the dishes. And also during COVID, when I had nothing better to do, when we were locked down, it was like, well, might as well do the dishes. So it's really, really interesting.
Yeah. You know what? I just want us to pull that out for a second, because I think that's a big deal. Like, this series is about being a missional Christian, being God's sent people in the places that we are, not just like somewhere else in the world for 2 weeks or whatever. Not that trips and experiences don't impact us. Jesus does a lot through everything. But it's important that we don't think that we're the only people made in God's image as we step into an environment. And so showing up on our street, showing up in someone's home, showing up in a far off land or our own neighborhood, God is at work in many hearts, and we will likely be invited to be recipients of kindness and goodness and grace, and maybe a lot of serving in the name of Jesus from the hands of others in the process. Doesn't mean we're not called to be also active servants and participants, but yeah. I want to jump too on what you said there about, I'm curious a bit more about the serving language. I felt like you were kind of pushing against the servant language because it has a sense of servant master maybe. Mm-hmm. And I can hear that. Is that what you were getting at there? Kind of like power, trying to get away from a power role?
Yeah, I feel, and I think it's evolved over the years that I've worked with and within communities. I'm working here at Sanctuary. Like, I recall coming down here initially and I was like, ah, I'm like here to serve. I'm here. And that was the language I used. Mm-hmm. And not that there is anything inherently wrong mm-hmm. with it. But then as the years progressed and like I worked here, but I would come because like I want to see my family. I want to see if they're doing I want to see if they're doing good. And so
yeah.
And I know that I'm going to like they are going to challenge me and shape me so much in the course of this. And so it just is like it's almost the move from like servant to friend, friend who is genuinely friend to family.
Yeah.
I'm there for you. And I know that people's understanding of family can be so wide ranging in what that means.
Mm. Yeah. John Dixon, he's a wonderful Anglican minister and an ancient historian. And he wrote a book, I think it was his PhD dissertation, into a book called Humilitas. And it's a study on how, and I'll connect the dots on this, okay? This isn't random, that up until Jesus in history, the idea of being a servant or the idea of being humble was totally despised. Like the ancient Rome had a word philotimia, which means the love of honor. And the virtue of humility, like we consider, historically now we consider humility a virtue. That virtue didn't exist until Jesus showed up and started taking this despised thing called being a servant and making it beautiful. As you think about your life in these days, you can reframe the language if you want, but as you think about your life these days, what does it look like for you to love your neighbors through serving your neighbors in Jesus' name? What does that look like? Where do you feel called to serve your neighbors? And what does that look like?
I think serving, especially like COVID is so strange. Like it is so, so strange. And we're coming out of it and like knock on wood against whatever waves could come. But like, I recognize how challenging it has been. And like, I think of even over this past year, I'm having a lot of just like grief and passings of people that I knew and loved. Mm. And one of the most painful pieces of that was that I couldn't do anything.
Mm.
Like I just had to sit and I could call them, but that was it. Mm. And obviously the pain of like close family and things is like anyone grieving in COVID is hard. And realizing that my way or like sometimes medicine for me is being able to feel of service
mm.
to folks. And we had a passing in the family that I live with. And so mm. I was in the social bubble to actually, and it just felt like the whole the whole year of grief and like not being able to do things. I can do everything right now. So I was like running around and buying, like, I don't know, they wanted duck for dinner. I'd be like, okay, I will buy a duck. And I was baking like crazy. And it was just,
where do you get duck?
I was looking for a black duck specifically,
yeah,
which I still haven't found it, but they told me, they're like, go find a black duck. So I went over like all over town. I didn't even, I was like, this is my point of service. I'm finding a black duck. And I told my coworker, and I was like, yep, I'm going to go get a black duck. And she just like, she asked me the next day, she's like, you went hunting yesterday? And I was like, no, I just went to a bunch of grocery stores. I can't hunt a duck. And so that was this like place. It's like, I can finally serve. And it felt so good and like such good medicine for me in those moments.
Can I stop you for a second? That's a challenge in this, is like, as we kind of tip into the two S's, okay, in the BLESS acronym, the missional acronym, like pray. Let's come to God for our neighbors. Let's come to God for our own hearts toward our neighbors, because we need God to make us care, because sometimes we don't want to care. Listen. Yeah, we so have to listen. Like, you're not getting anywhere with anyone if you're not going to be a listener. Sharing meals. What a beautiful way to bond and build relationships and cultivate friendship, as you just said, like to create a place of mutuality and shared, yeah, blessing. But then there's like that tipping into doing something, which many of us want. And that's why I love that there is the BLE before, because it's easy sometimes to feel like BLESS is about saying something and doing something. And I think the doing something, there's like a dual angle of it, because there is a proactive opportunity to bless someone in a tangible way, but also there's a way in which you find some satisfaction in feeling like you can do something. You're driving around town, you're trying to find a duck because you know that it meets something they're longing for. And yet, obviously, we don't want to be people who just serve because we know it makes us feel good, because that's the danger about doing, is sometimes we can jump to that. We want to bless our neighbor, and so we look for something to do without listening or without praying, yeah, or without relationship.
I suppose that's like, as I process now, I'm like thinking of the past year, where I'm like the year, like pre the passing within the family I live with, that was literally all you could do was pray. Praying for those in my life who were hurting, listen, like having those phone calls and being like, I literally can't, it was, your hands were almost tied. And it feels, I think, in a culture, so like, do something, like do. When I talked at Lambrick, I quoted Shia LaBeouf or whatever his name is, where it's like, just do it, or Nike, listen, and like eating.
Yeah.
Like, acknowledging that that's so significant too. And that's what we did, the family I was a part of, like that was all we could do in the months that we all went through really tough things.
Again, the missional acronym BLESS, they're not like one free stay of the week. That, you know, like depending on the context, depending on the nature of the story of the community or the family or the individual, the journey of listening and sharing meals or whatever, building relationships, building trust before there's a place, a proper place for serving, could be a long road to be able to really serve in a way that actually meets their need, actually speaks their language, and doesn't just meet your need and kind of like, yeah, do something. But there is a time, right? There is a time to do something. But that's probably not where it starts, though maybe sometimes.
And I think that's like, I think of my role currently for work, like I've been told that like I take kids out for food, like food is so central within teachings. Like when you're taking in good words and you're listening to good words, you want to be taking in food as well. And that's just pure, that's what you do as a hospitality practice. And so thinking through that as well, like when kids joke about it, they're like, you're gonna feed me free? And then you're like, yeah, I'll like, let's eat. That's the number first meal. We meet up and we eat.
Yeah.
And generally they'll tell me about everything that's going on, or like they'll tell me about their life, tell me about what's happening. And at that moment, I'm not telling them about all of the things that they have to do.
Mm.
Like, I'm just going to sit here and then obviously move forward on action items once you have the, and yeah, that's a good acronym for like that basis of trust and saying, I'm here for you as more than just a service project on a Wednesday.
Yeah. There is something wise about starting with God, starting with listening, starting and then building trust and relationship and reciprocity towards being able to know what to do. Because that is like your ability to love well the family that you're living with in their grief required a season of you listening to their story and understanding their ways. And
that it wasn't like the acknowledgement too of like their and like grief, sadness, emotions, those are all personal experiences and in proximity like to relationships that you have with folks. But like beyond that too, it's like grieving alongside, like feeling alongside, being alongside, as opposed to again coming in as the hunky dory, like, okay, you are suffering and I am here to go find you a duck. It was like, I am in pain with you. My pain is different because of my relational proximity, because it's COVID and I'm in your bubble. I can use my efforts to go buy a duck.
How is serving others changing you?
I feel like it's opened up the bubbles and my circles of who I consider friends and family. It's opened up the friend or like the circles of those who I feel accountable to in my daily life. When things come up, when like the news of the 215, which isn't shocking to communities because they've been saying it forever, like it doesn't, for me, it's as I process what it is to be in relation and love those in my life, it's like, I'm angry because it is a gross injustice, but I am angry in addition where I have friends, I have family, I know people who have gone through that system. And so I think of them. I think of when we talk about statistics and injustices in the world, I think of my friends and family. I think of those I love. And so it's shaped me because I get mad at a lot of things now, but I like to think that it's an anger that Jesus would be okay with, as he is also angry at how the world is mistreating his children.
Do you think, I know as a, you came to Jesus in your teen years, really awakened to a faith, a living faith, and through your summer camp and stuff, and needed a band of brothers and sisters to really rally with, which really brought you into the church. And I know that along the way, you know, everybody learns that Jesus, that God has a servant heart. But I'm curious if there's any experience that really stands out to you where the servant heart of God, the coming and, you know, I read the John 13 text, like Jesus taking off the cloak and washing the feet of the disciples. Is there an experience in your journey where that became more real for you that started to pull you into that? Or is that just something that hard to name a marker? Because I would say that the servant heart of God is shaping your life.
I think for me, and it's been the evolution on my own like faith and spiritual journey of, and it was like, I have to do all, and I know, like, I could tell you, like, God doesn't care about, it's not like, how many works have you done, like, to measure up. But I think the way that my brain was wired for so long was like, how can I do everything? How can I be there for everyone? How mm-hmm. can I show up and serve and do all of this? And this is what it means to be a good Christian. And like the way that you, and just those were the things that I took in. And so I think the, honestly, like the piece where I learned the most about like the servant heart of God was probably when I had a season when my mental health tanked and it was really hard for me to like eat breakfast or like function in a regular way. And I was living with roommates at the time, and I remember my roommate, and she'd be like, Erica, have you eaten? No. Okay. I'm going to cook for you. And being, allowing myself to be served was like the most pivotal, like it was just so ground, like this whole notion of what it means to like serve, like serve, but also like to be served, and that God is this ultimate servant leader.
I mean, we talked about a few weeks ago, when we were talking about listening, how, you know, I long for my neighbors to know that God listens to them, but how will they know that unless they experience that for me? If I proclaim, oh, God cares about you, God grieves over your suffering, but I don't actually, as a Jesus person, represent to them the listening of God, why would they think God listens? And that's kind of what you're saying, that there's moments where we get pulled into the heart of God through just receiving it ourselves, experiencing it through the hands, the heart, the kindness of somebody else. And yay for your roommates.
Yeah.
I want to, let's wrap up here. I remember talking with a friend years ago, Joyce Reese. She was the director of Jacob's Well in Vancouver, inner city ministry with a bit of a different posture. They really tried to live in community with the people on the street and share life and have it be a mutual learning and blessing. But she would often have people from the suburbs like come down and serve on a Saturday, and she'd be like, that's awesome, thanks for coming and serve. And they'd often ask like, okay, what do I do? And it was because there's this mentality, and you kind of have named it a little bit, of like feeling like you need that serving Jesus needs to always look a bit bigger and better and all, and I need to be there. And she just would push people. She had these two questions she'd always throw back, and she'd say, go home, go back to your neighborhood and start looking around your neighborhood, walk your own streets, and answer these two questions. What do you see, and what's in your hands to give? And obviously our BLESS acronym pulls us into more than just doing, but those questions have helped me over the years, not living in the inner city, to pay attention on my street. And those questions continue to pull me forward to where I am, the places that God's put me in. So what do you see, and what's in your hands to give? Let's turn to God in prayer. Father, thank you for your people. Thank you for your spirit. Thank you for Erica and your great love for her and the people that she serves and walks with, the community she lives is a part of, and those that she serves through her work and her daily life. We ask God for your presence and voice and spirit's life in her to continue to grow as she seeks to follow you in the places that you call her. Thank you, God, for loving us and calling us to serve our neighbors in love. Continue to teach us, God. Continue to lead us. Open our hearts to follow your heart in love for others, to step in, to do the slow, loving work, building relationship, listening to others, sharing life, and lead us to serve like you serve, God. Open our eyes today, this week, to whom you are calling us to serve. For your glory, God, and our joy, and the good of our world. Amen.